Hello, dumplings. Welcome to Let's Get Ugly, the podcast where we dive deep into the latest beauty, wellness, and lifestyle secrets that aren't always pretty, but always real.
We're your co-hosts, Trishna and Disha.
The sister duo keeping it 100% authentic, really silly, and sassy all at the same time.
Yep, you probably have heard we are super sassy and a touch of silly. Welcome to Let's Get Ugly.
Shivani, welcome to Let's Get Ugly.
Hi.
We're so excited to have you here and talk about your journey. You've worked with global beauty brands, walked for top designers, and just made an appearance at Cannes. So today we're going to keep it real simple, real advice, real experience, and how you've cracked into the industry.
You have carved out a modeling career across not one, but two continents. And we want to get into what it actually takes to stand out. One of the things that we're really focused on is being grounded as well, as the industry is so bustling and so big, which leads me on to my first question, which is, what was the first moment you realized your modeling career was taking off?
I think for like the longest time, I didn't really know what I was doing. So I was just floating around. I think it would have been probably when I went to India, actually, and I did like Sabyasachi. I did that as like his campaign. And I think at that point I was like, oh, like this could be something.
How did that even come about?
How did that come about? So I went to India just because I wanted a change of scenery. So I put myself in Mumbai. I signed there because I knew a photographer. So he was like, come. He was kind of telling me for a couple of years to come. And I was like, why would I go to India, you know, if I want to do this in London? But then I just ended up going. And then I did an editorial for a magazine. And that's where I wore a Sabia outfit. And then Sabia actually saw an image and then booked me for his campaign.
Wow.
Wow, that's so cool. I mean, tell us about India and how that differs from the UK in terms of the modeling industry.
It is very different, to be honest. I think initially, like I just said, like when India came about and the person, Rahul, that was telling me to come over, initially I was just like, But like I said, why would I go? Like, I didn't really feel the need to go. I didn't really, at that time, because I was so young, I guess I didn't really respect it that much or think, like, there's anything that I can kind of do here. I knew nothing about it. And I just thought, like, maybe I was a bit, like, ignorant. But then when I got there, it just blew my mind. It's insane. There's so much going on. There's such, like, it's such a huge industry. And I just really learned, like, very quickly to respect it and that there's just so much going on and stuff. You know, it's amazing.
I feel like India is one of those places that will always have our hearts, mm-hmm. especially Mumbai. Mm-hmm. We spent a lot of time there in the last 2 years, made great friends, kind of understood a little bit about the industry as well. And it can be so incredibly overstimulating.
Yeah.
But I do love the fact that it does kind of help you carve out your own space.
Yeah.
Were there any highlights for you while you were there?
I think generally it would probably be around work. So it would be like the things that I've achieved with like shoots and campaigns and things like that. But generally, I think just India as in general is just so addictive. I think anyone that goes there that's not from there, they just want to go back. It has this type of energy there that like I'm sure you guys found that too. It just makes you just want to come back all the time. So I think just generally the energy, but then also the friends that I made as well. I made like friends for life. I think there's such like, it's so nested, like everything's so intertwined over there. So yeah.
Yeah, the community is something we found incredible there. Like it was super collaborative and everyone wanted to kind of do everything together and work together.
Yeah.
And that's something that we've felt is not necessarily the same over here.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
How has that experience been for you over here in comparison to India?
I mean, for me, I have my agency, so that kind of keeps me grounded because obviously I'm seeing the same people over and over again. I've been signed with this agency now for probably around, I think, 6 years. So that in itself is like grounding. And then I guess you do kind of see the same people over and over if you have a relationship with that brand. So, I guess in a way, but obviously it's not as like, you know, it's not the same as India. India's very compact, I guess, in terms of the industry.
I mean, for me, I think that one of the things that always kind of strikes me is it is really difficult being Indian in the industry in the UK.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to know a little bit about your experience with that. How do you feel about it? And were there any like moments where you were like, wow, this is amazing, or equally, wow, this is really not?
Yeah, there have been both. So I think because I've been doing it for so long, I've experienced both ends of the spectrum. I think for me, I've been quite fortunate in my career to always be placed as the Indian model for a lot of brands. So when they'll need like one girl from each ethnicity, most of the time they'll just use me as the one that's going to fit the Indian face. So I know that is the case for like certain beauty brands, like, you know, they need to shoot one of each girl. So, you know, that's how I get pitched as an Indian girl now. Initially, when I was with my other agency, they didn't really pitch me as an Indian girl, which was weird. They like changed my name to Ivani. And I think a lot of people thought that I was mixed race, like maybe half like Russian or like European or something, and then half Indian. So I don't know if they were trying to pitch me as like more Brazilian or something, but then this agency now have been amazing at pushing me as an Indian girl. So I guess I have been fortunate, but I know that it's not always the case, because obviously we are still in the UK, you know, so it's tough. There have been a couple of times that I've been on set where, like I've realized just from talking to the other models that I'm getting paid significantly less than the other girls, literally just probably because I'm Indian. So they've come in like complaining, saying, you know, I'm getting paid this amount, and I thought I was at, you know, my agency have now doubled it to this amount, so now I'm happy. But actually their doubled amount is still, I was still getting paid half of that or something along the lines, or a quarter of that or something. And I guess there is a little bit, or maybe a lot of it being because I'm Indian.
Yeah, it's just so interesting.
It is. I mean, it really is, especially with the first agency like pitching you to be a bit different. I mean, I've heard that in India as well, like when it comes to a lot of the modeling with fairer skin models, that they actually use European people and pass them off as Indian.
They do, yeah. And a lot of Brazilian girls get passed off as Indian girls because they like the fair skin. It's so odd. You know, because now I think things are changing here where actually they're starting to push Indian girls a lot more. And if you look at the Indian girls that are kind of getting represented in the industry, like you look at Bridgerton, and like, I can't really think off the top of my head of other examples, but those girls, they do look quite Indian. But actually India's kind of doing it backwards. It's really weird. Like they don't want to push the girls that look so Indian. I think Sabyasachi was one of the first designers who actually pushed girls who had a darker skin tone,
which is so interesting.
Yeah, I think he was one of the first.
I mean, I was gonna say in general, like what I've noticed with the overall market anyway is, of course, things are changing since the Ambani wedding. Like in the last year, we've had so much more attention on India as a market and a community, and in some instances it's like super exciting, and in others it's kind of leading to the same thing happening again and again, where it's like, okay, now we'll use saris and we'll use Indian fashion, but we'll still model it with European or Brazilian or South American models. And I'm like, huh?
It's tricky.
I mean, how can you make yourself feel resilient in those instances? Because modeling is such a difficult industry in general. And then you have this added pressure of being Indian and misrepresented within the first instance. Then now you're in a situation where it's better, but it's still got a long way to go.
Yeah. I think just changing in, agency, and them pushing me as an Indian model. I did make it very clear to them when I joined this agency. I was like, you know, I'm Indian. Like, I want to be pushed as an Indian model. I love being Indian. Like, I think I was, you know, I was doing a lot of Indian stuff before I even got signed with any agency, you know. So it's like, yeah, I think that's been healing for me, just being pushed as an Indian model. But generally when these things happen, like the name change and stuff like that, I was quite young and probably naive and probably just trying to get my foot in the industry. So just being like, I don't really know what's going on, but like, okay, like if you're going to change my name, that's okay. Like everything was just okay at that time.
bit more passive. Mm-hmm. If someone is like you, looks like you, and is wanting to break into the industry, what advice would you give them today?
I think I would tell them to be persistent. I think that's really important because I think it's such like there's so many ups and downs that like you can't really get disheartened if you get rejected a little bit maybe at the beginning, because you do have to work your way in. I don't think you can expect to come into the industry and think that everything's just going to be given to you on a silver platter. You do have to work your way. Like I did a lot of test shoots at the beginning. I worked for free a lot. You know, I really had to push myself to get my foot in. So I think just to be really resilient would be the first thing. And just have fun with it. Maybe as much as you have to take it seriously, also don't take it so seriously, because it's one of the most fun industries in the whole world. So like you get to travel, meet people and work on all these different projects and stuff. So try and like enjoy it, but take it seriously, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. I mean, speaking of travel, you just got back from Cannes, yeah. Which is so exciting. How did that opportunity come together?
So basically, one of my really close friends, Amir, he was going anyway. So he's a hairstylist. He did my hair like throughout Cannes. And he basically was like, I'm going, like, just come with me. So initially, I just thought, okay, like, I'll go for a few days as a trip. But I think as you put your energy in that place, like I did, then things just start rolling. And like, it was kind of like a snowball effect. So then I posted that I was there. And then I started getting invited to things, brands started reaching out. And then like, I ended up on the red carpet and things like that. So it all just started happening really quickly. But yeah, wow. Probably just through the people that I know as well, because everybody goes there at that time of year.
So it's a true testament to really putting yourself out there. Yeah. But we do have to talk about the hair.
Yeah.
Amir's hair. Shout out to Amir.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Incredible.
Tell us a little bit about the idea of the like inspiration of the look. Like, what was he thinking? What were you guys looking to do?
Okay, so oh my god, I'm gonna speak for him. I feel like Amir is like such a genius when it comes to hair. Like, I just always say to him, do whatever you want to do. He has like a lot of mood boards and stuff like that. I'll occasionally send him things and be like, oh, this was cool. Like, should we try this? But mainly, it's just all him because he's so amazing at doing hair. I'm like, just do whatever you want to do. And I think even with him, I don't think he'll be mad that I say this, but I think he makes it up a little bit as he goes yeah. along as well, and gets inspired by who he's working on and like maybe the dress, the jewelry, the occasion and stuff like that. Yeah, but he's just insane.
We were obsessed with the flower detail in your hair, and yeah. that was something that we literally were like, wow, this is probably one of the best hair looks we saw the entire yeah. well week, really.
Yeah, I mean, it was insane.
Wow,
we were just so in awe. Some serious skill to do
honestly,
that.
Honestly, it's insane. But I need to tell you about like how that even came about. Yeah. So the flowers in my hair are actually earrings, but I wanted to wear them in my ears. So when we went to put them on, we realized that my jewelry box from home, I must have like closed it on the earrings and they broke, so we didn't have the backs to the earrings. And he was like, before I had to put them in, he was just desperately trying to fix them and they wouldn't fix, and he was like, right, I'm just gonna put them in your hair.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I love
and
that.
It just looked insane the way he did it. He's just yeah, so talented.
There was so cool,
so versatile as well. I mean, let's talk more about the beauty. What was the red carpet prep like with the kind of makeup in complement with the hair? Because the makeup was super flawless as well.
Thank you. I actually did it myself that day. Yeah, like every single day, every event, I had someone do my makeup. And the one day that I was going on the red carpet where I probably desperately needed a makeup artist, I just had to just quickly do it myself. But I think I probably learned like a few things along the way.
Of course.
About makeup, yeah.
Do tell.
Oh, and I don't know. I just feel like this. You just learn so much. Products, like anytime a makeup artist is saying to me, babe, have you tried this? I'm like, don't ask me if I've tried it, because I'm just going to go home and buy it, and I can't buy any more makeup. So yeah, I'm just constantly like learning about it and stuff.
That's
I think I've
amazing.
Got like okay at it over the years.
What was your prep beyond okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, okay. I was like, this looks professional level. In real life, we can attest to that.
Yeah. But what was your go-to look and inspiration? Like, were you tried and tested that day, or were you experimental? Like, what was your mindset going into it, and what did you do?
I think I just went for what I feel is safe. So I just went for like more of a nude look. I didn't want to overdo it. But then I know from doing shoots that I like it when artists put quite a lot of like liner around my eyes. So like it makes them stand out more, or just, you know, a lot of dark around and just like buff it out, because that's probably the easiest thing to do. You just draw it on and then buff it out. So I kind of like stuck to that. I know it works, and I think it looks okay.
Yeah, it
looked
amazing.
Than okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
It was amazing. I mean, what was your go-to product that day, would you say?
Let me think. I think the House Labs foundation is so good. I don't know if you guys have tried it. Lady
Everyone
Gaga's.
Has said
it's
that.
Insane. Yes. That is like...
What makes it so good?
I think it's just so fun, like lightweight. So I don't really wear foundation. I like to wear concealer, or I'll wear like a CC cream or something. But with that, it just goes on so effortlessly. Mm. I think I use that for the whole week, anytime that I did my makeup.
Oh my gosh, amazing.
Wow. That so was good. That's the one thing that you will always have in your bag then for these kind of moments.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you have any tips for people who are going to Cannes for the first time? Like, what did you learn from being there?
I think you've got to have a lot of energy, because there's just so much going on. So probably like whenever you have time to rest, just rest. And then I don't know, what else would I say? Yeah, energy you need a lot of. We were literally running because we had so much packed in, because obviously before each event or whatever, I wanted to shoot the look, so we had to do that. Then it's like timings, you know, you want the right lighting and everything. But yeah, I think it's just fun, like just to have fun. Everyone's there. You literally walk up and down the boulevard, and if you've traveled and like worked in other countries, you will see probably everyone that you know from all around the world. But yeah, and then I think just to have an open mind, because once you're there, things start coming through. So yeah. That's probably it.
I love that you went in good faith. I think that is just the coolest thing. But it's such a testament about today. Like, in 2025, you can sometimes just show up and have good faith.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Definitely. I was going to say, is this where you say that the Kim Kardashian quote? What did she say?
Nobody wants to work these days. Yeah.
Just kidding. For anyone listening.
I say that a lot. I'm always like, nobody wants to work these days. But yeah, it's great. Like, I actually think that is possibly the best snippet we've had today. Like, when you were like, I just wanted to be there. I showed up. I had the chance. And then I put it out there.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's how you got to do things nowadays.
Honestly. And then everything just started working in my favor. Like, I don't know if it's like manifestation or what, or just putting yourself in the right place and the energy all started aligning. But yeah, just everything started working out. It was good.
Yeah. Great.
Incredible. I mean, this is going to be tricky, I think, to answer. But what was the standout moment for you of the whole week?
I think probably just before I went on the red carpet, because I had to go on alone and Amir couldn't come with me, or anyone, like anyone that I knew, because you have a ticket and then you have to kind of just go on your own. So yeah, probably that, because I was so nervous, guys. Like, I was terrified. I'd never done a red carpet before, and I was like, I just don't know what to expect or like what's happening. My friends had kind of like spoke me through, like, you have to look over here first, then you look at this camera, then you go up, do a back like shot, and then this will happen, then you'll go up and whatever. And I was just like, oh my God, like, it was just all happening at once. So that for me was probably the moment that stood out the most.
I love that. The adrenaline of a red carpet.
Because I was so scared, yeah.
And all the angles. But I mean, the best part is you're a model, so it was fine.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
I'm glad that, like, I had that. Yeah, I'm glad I had the experience, so I wasn't like extra nervous, because I'm like, okay, I'm okay in front of a camera, you know. That took the edge off things.
Yeah, I can imagine. Okay, let's talk model beauty tips. So you look fab.
Thank you.
But you always look fab.
Oh, thank you. So
and
do you guys.
You travel a lot. Yeah. And so I would say, what's your routine like when you're off duty? Because I feel like when you're on set, there's probably nothing else you want to do the rest of the day. So that day's gone.
Yeah.
So when you're off duty, what do you do to keep yourself in the best shape and feeling the best? What's your routine like?
I think, like, obviously that day's gone, the day that you're on set, because, like, even yesterday I was shooting for Charlotte Tilbury and I was there from 8 a.m. and I think I was the last person off set, so I finished at like 10 or something. So that day has gone because I was up from like 5:45 or something. But then if you can, the next day should also be gone. You should just spend it resting, but that's if you can. Like, in this country, my schedule's not so busy. When I'm in India or if I like go to Dubai or something, I'm pretty much working back to back, like every day. Sometimes I could have like two things a day, so you don't really get the luxury of resting so much. But if you can, like, you should try and relax the next day. And then other than that, I do really take care of myself, I can't lie. Like, I do a lot of self-care, especially when I'm home, because I'm living in the Midlands right now with my family. So I travel in when I have work and I travel in when I have casting. So I have the luxury of like being in the countryside and just chilling out. But when I'm at home, I do a lot of self-care, like with my skincare, I guess. I rest when I can, when I'm not driving up and down to do castings and shoots. What else? I do Pilates when I can fit that in and when like I feel like I've recovered from the last session, because it's so hard.
That it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just things like that. Like, I meditate, I spend time with my family and like my cat and stuff like that. I feel like that's always like really helpful. But I do look after myself, my diet and things like that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you have the routine packed down in terms of how to unwind and reset yourself as well. But in terms of your skin and taking care of that, that's hard too. Because obviously when you're in set, like the product pile on is probably a lot. Like, what do you do for your skin?
I think like removal is really important, because for example, yesterday I had the makeup put on and off so many times that they usually, weirdly enough, they actually start backwards. They usually will do, they won't start by doing the before shots if you're doing a before and after for a brand. They always do that at the end because they almost want your skin to look more tired. So they want it to have like come on, off for it to look more, the before shot to look more extreme. So they'll start with the full face, then they'll slowly take it down, add more, take it down, and things get changed and things all the time when you're on set. So I think removal is important. I use an oil-based remover, and I feel like that on a cotton pad is just the most gentle way to take off my makeup. Or I'll use a balm, which, you know, as you rub that in, that turns into a kind of oil consistency. So I think for me personally, that's the thing that's probably saved my skin the most, you know. And just gentle products, I think.
What's your best hack to remove mascara? Because I think that's the hardest. Like, how do you get rid of mascara without ending up with panda eyes the next day?
Yeah, it's so
And funny. Also without, like, losing lashes. Yeah.
I think what I do is I've always used, I got told this quite a few years ago. There's like a blue bottle of eye makeup remover from Number 7. And it's half micellar water and half a blue oil. I use that on a cotton pad. I just totally drench the cotton pads, two of them, and then I just hold it on my eyes for like a good couple of minutes. And then when I take that off, you can literally see the whole makeup look on the cotton pad. And like, if you've had like individuals, you can see those, and it takes off waterproof mascara and stuff. So that for me is like my number one thing.
That sounds great. Trishna was asking for her friend, aka herself.
Myself, yeah. Yeah, I'm the worst. Literally the worst. Like, when it comes to taking off makeup, I'm so lazy with it.
Oh, no.
And, like, I will happily sleep in makeup.
Oh,
like,
really? No.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'm like, I'll usually never wear mascara because I know.
Yeah, it's a pain.
Like, even if you use a brown one, people are like, why do you have dirt on your face the next day? And I'm like, I really tried to take it off.
By people, you mean me?
Yeah, most of the time.
I'm like, what's that on your face? Because I'm really good at removing makeup because I, like, need my skin to, like, breathe and, like,
reset.
Yeah, for
sure. It's so important. It's the most important thing.
I know. I've heard. Yeah. I've heard. Okay, so now we have a quick fire section.
Okay.
And these are beauty wrap up questions.
Okay.
So, are you ready?
I think so.
So, what's one beauty rule you love breaking?
I think I've got blush blindness. So probably that. I do too much blush. Way too much blusher. Maybe not right now. I feel like you're looking at my face.
I know. I'm like, where?
Maybe not now, but I've been told that a couple of times. So yeah, I break that rule all the time. We need to tone down on the blusher.
Love that. You could give your younger self one piece of beauty advice, what would it be?
Take off your makeup before you go to sleep.
Love that one.
That was directed right at you. Younger self, someone in the same room.
Not that my younger self is wearing makeup, but I would just be like, as you get older, that's probably a good tip.
Yeah.
What's a beauty moment, good or bad, that you'll never forget that you've had on yourself?
A beauty moment that I don't know if this is the right answer, but I've had like my makeup done a few times that's not good.
Yeah.
So that has been like a little bit traumatizing. So that's kind of one thing that I probably wouldn't get over.
Any specifically memorable bad makeups?
Yeah, not that I'm going to name any names.
Not
that I probably remember as well, because I'm so bad with names. But yeah, it's more like, you know, when people are learning to do makeup, when I was younger, I would do a lot of the academies and they would be learning to do makeup, so that they're literally, they probably never picked up a makeup brush in their life, but they're so enthusiastic to learn. It's so those times, just when they're right at the beginning of their journey. But then because I would have had like a little bit of experience, whatever, I would have helped where I could, but then you don't want to also knock their confidence. So probably those moments where I've kind of like trusted them and then looked in the mirror after and been like, oh.
We've all had those moments.
Yeah.
Even doing it on ourselves.
Yeah, it's true.
So as a final segment before we wrap up, we have a little card reading that we do for every guest.
So I saw that earlier. I thought, wow, we do it.
Yes. So just a little message for you for what's ahead.
Is it like an affirmation?
Yeah, it can be too. So it's an oracle card deck, but I use it as an affirmation. I just use it all the time as everything. Feeling this one, chosen family.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So just to reconnect with people that you love and just take time to do that.
I love that.
Especially after a busy time working. It's probably the best thing to
do. And I feel like that's the first thing that I said, you know, in the questions when you guys asked me about what's important, and I said family.
It's actually so interesting. Sometimes I feel like we really call the things that, you know, crop up in every aspect of life. And you seem really good at manifesting.
Oh, thanks. I think I realized when I went to Cannes, I was like, am I good at this? Maybe I am. I think so.
Yeah.
Might need to do it more often.
Definitely. So good at setting an intention. But thank you so much for sharing your journey with us today.
Thank you for having me.
We've absolutely loved having you and getting into these interesting conversations.
Yeah, it's been fun. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.